I assure you, I haven't forgotten. I know that they're still waiting for me in the text club at 35270 about your hotel experiences. Some of them, at least you've kept them mostly family-friendly, because that's not always the case, and some that have made comments otherwise are not going to make it over these airwaves, but I appreciate you letting me know as well. It's just one of those experiences. You've all had one. You can let me know at 35270. In the meantime, we are at the Greater North Dakota Chamber of Commerce. Policy Summit's going on. Opportunity to come out and talk about business, workforce, child care, something that has been on some people's radar for a very long time. I'm glad others are finally catching on to this not only being a child development thing, but also a workforce issue. But there's always, in my opinion, something that seems to be missing from these. Because, I mean, right now, there is a policy summit that's going on about response to federal regulation and overreach, all the woes about federal government, but there's never enough talk about the investments that are done from the federal government to make small businesses on Main Street viable. Aaron Oban is USDA Rural Development Director here in North Dakota. Welcome back to Afternoons Live. How are you?
Hi, Tyler. Nice to be with you.
Thanks for joining me.
Welcome back to Bismarck.
It's been a while. The suits still fit. It's shocking.
Good job.
Glad my producer got married, so I had to get fitted for a more recent one. Thanks, Eric. These conversations. I mean, you've been involved in the legislative side. You've been on these panels. You've been a part of all this. That's my take, is that they're always, negative on federal investments, but they never highlight some of the money that is appropriated through Congress that's being spent. We think about broadband. We think about some of the child care access. There is a pool of funds there that has been provided. Why don't they want to talk about it?
Tyler, I think it's very easy to push negativity onto others without recognizing how much it benefits us here at home in North Dakota. And I have the good fortune of leading as state director USDA Rural Development, which typically when folks think of the United States Department of Agriculture, of course, they think about the agriculture programs that directly support farmers and ranchers. And while we do have a couple programs that target farmer egg producers, most of what we do is build up communities. We could darn near build a community from the ground up with the 47 programs that Rural Development administers. And in fiscal year 21 alone, we're just about to wrap up at the end of this week, FY22. But if you look at our obligations alone as an agency in North Dakota in 2021, it was over $382 million in North Dakota's smallest rural and tribal communities. And I would love to, and I am committed to making sure that for as long as I have the good fortune of being in this role, folks can see the positives of what federal partnership can do to build up communities and to help people reach their goals.
I have not run into some of these individuals that are at the most local level shy away from applying for the federal grants. They might go to the bar and complain about federal spending, but if there's an opportunity there, and they're right to do so, but at least own it then. Yeah, I mean, just the other day, you were up in the Candu area. There's a hospital being built. I know that in previous administrations, both Republican and Democrat, water projects. There's a lot of infrastructure investment that's done through these type of projects.
Absolutely. And I think one of our programs that often gets overlooked a bit is what we do with housing, with both single-family and multifamily housing. In that 2021 year, $94 million worth of housing direct loans and grants were provided to North Dakotans to put a roof over their head or to stay in the home that they want to stay in if they're aging or if they've had a debilitating experience that, they want to stay in their homes. We want to continue to support rural communities that I think sometimes are pretty easily overlooked. Even you and I serving in the state legislature together, the majority of legislators come from our largest communities because it's based on population. Right. So I feel really fortunate to work for an agency whose sole purpose is to support, improve the economy and support the quality of life of rural communities.
You're originally from a small town.
I am. Ray Jays.
Yeah, and I'm from Leeds, both small towns. And, you mentioned that a majority of the legislature now is in the urban. I use that term loosely.
I know, it is.
The metro areas, I don't know, the big small towns here in North Dakota. But now that you've got this role and you've been in it for a little while now, you're out there in rural spots because that's your focus. What's the most glaring challenge out there?
I think because there is such a low tax base in small communities, it's almost impossible for them to do large water projects, street projects, if there's a need for a community facility. Certainly delivering things like high-speed internet to really rural and remote areas is incredibly cost prohibitive. And that's the whole reason we have grants and loans available. One of my favorite stories is one we just told about a 91-year-old farmer named Joe from the Alexander area who had reached out to Senator Hovind's office wondering why, at that time it was probably about 2020, he didn't have high-speed internet. And Senator Hovind's office connected Joe with Rural Development, and through a connection with who would be his internet provider, we worked to get to fill out an application, and they were just awarded a pretty significant grant that's now going to get Joe and about 1,000 other people access to high-speed internet. You can't do that without support from agencies, and whether we like it or not, federal dollars that go behind it.
You know, and I'm not going to ask this question because I don't want to get you in trouble, but you have it just...
But you're doing it anyway,
yeah,
aren't you?
Well, you can answer if you want. You just gave an example, and I think there's more examples out there of, you know, you've got our current delegation, and, you know, it's talking about federal spending, and there's ads running all over because it's campaign season about going to cut spending, cut regulation, cut this, cut that. There's overreach, as we're talking about out here. But then there's those good things, and Hovind's office to be able to connect that is a good thing.
I don't understand why
they're so afraid to talk about the benefits that come from these programs.
So here's what I like to think is that when it comes down to it, the examples of the projects we can support that help small businesses and rural communities reach their goals, that help people like Joe get access to internet, to help places like CANDU build a hospital or Belcourt build a recovery center, or, you know, Standing Rock get access to safe drinking water. That's what happens when government works the way it's supposed to, in partnership with private sector, backing up, you know, private lenders, or providing access to capital that they wouldn't otherwise get if USDA Rural Development didn't exist and if Congress didn't appropriate us dollars to do it.
And the thing that, and maybe this was more on, you know, maybe me and my position of those stories are out there all the time. People know it. If they're benefiting from it, we shouldn't be shying away from talking about the good. And I think you alluded to it earlier. It's easy to point out the negative, and it's easy to go down that. In fact, we talked about that a little bit earlier when I was on this panel about just being addicted to anger on some things. And it's easy to say, look, there's wasteful here. But when you can actually talk about a 90-year-old getting high speed, you can talk about a community, there's need for rural hospitals all over the critical access.
And you mentioned child care earlier. Yeah. I visited a project in Leeds that we assisted. I visited a project at Walker City.
I'm familiar with that one.
So I think about the incredible challenges and opportunities that exist when we match programs up that are meant to assist in you know, overcoming those challenges. If we can just get past ourselves and our desire to argue about things and just get things done. And that's what I find so refreshing about working on with an agency like this, who's just getting the work done.
Aaron Obama, my guest, a USDA Rural Development Director here in North Dakota. You mentioned, we talked on child care now. This chamber of commerce here that we're sitting at this policy summit joined with Governor Burgum on, you know, a press conference saying it's time. I've made the comments. It's been long past time. Have they reached out? Because you mentioned that there's federal programs there that could help. What's the collaboration like between your office and the state? Is there any?
Certainly there is communication and longstanding relationships, probably specifically with certain departments over others. And not all of our programs are, I mean, we can't assist with the human capital needs that exist, I think, especially in childcare. And of course, I'm coming right out of serving in the state Senate and being a mother who just stopped paying childcare payments when my kids started kindergarten this fall. So I know that a lot of those challenges are going to require and are meant to be led by states. The federal government, I'm never going to claim that the federal government should get involved in everything. But when it requires investments that cannot exist in those really small communities without a partner who has access to more more dollars, frankly. You have to be able to have partnerships to make this stuff happen.
Give me a little bit more time.
Okay.
These don't go anywhere. Aaron Oban, my guest. I'm Tyler Axis. After these lives rolling on, we're out at the Policy Summit here in Bismarck. It's the Greater North Dakota Chamber of Commerce. I know they're a little behind here. You know, politicians get talking. From experience, I'm speaking of that. They're a little behind, but there might be a crowd forming, so I might get a little loud in here. But stick around. We're going to continue this conversation next year on KFGO.
To Afternoons Live with Tyler Axness on the Mighty 790 and 104.7 KFGO.
Erin Oban, my guest. She is the director of USDA Rural Development. Yesterday, during Afternoons Live, we talked about steak nights, small towns. You're from a small town. I have no idea what Ray's specials were. Do you?
I was the waitress in the small cafe.
What was the
Ray
special?
Cafe.
Okay, the Ray Cafe. Okay.
I can't tell you how many times I burned my hands on hot sandwiches, and to this day, I despise them. It makes me almost like lose my rural credibility. But when you smother a sandwich and mashed potatoes with
a brown gravy.
Hot, yes.
Yeah, but the brown gravy is
Do you know how hot those plates get, though? Just burn the heck out of
you. They always warn it when, I mean, hey, the plate's hot, don't touch it, but I suppose you don't have an option.
I don't. I didn't.
They don't give you gloves? I don't know. I've never paid attention. They've got oven mitts.
Anyway.
I've seen the waitresses with oven mitts.
Well, I should have had oven mitts on.
Okay, so you didn't. So that was the special at the Ray Cafe?
Oh, there were lots of hot sandwich
steak,
specials.
Steak nights are the way to go. Small
steak
towns, right?
Yep. Salad
especially
bars.
If you get the salad bar, the baked potato and the tinfoil and a Texas toast. I say you get additional points if you have to cook your own steak. But yesterday we had a lot of people from small towns, rural across the state, texting about their specials. Got a large rural audience right now.
Okay.
You're involved with programs that might help them. So if there's somebody out there in Sarles or Ashley or, hey, we need some water projects, we need A, B, or C, what's that process look like?
So the easiest way is just to probably call our office or look at our website first to look at the wide variety of programs. So as I mentioned, we have rural business and cooperative services programs. We have housing programs. We have community facility programs. We have water and environmental programs. Broadband, electric program. I mean, I haven't even touched on the REAP programs, which support small rural businesses and ag producers to be more energy efficient, to reduce the cost of their operations, and try to invest that money back into their own business. And we were appropriated some additional dollars through the Inflation Reduction Act to support that specific program. So we're going to be doing everything we can to get those additional dollars out the door. But another way we support rural communities is there are a number of North Dakota's rural electric cooperatives and telecoms or telephone companies who have funds that originated with rural development that they have created revolving loan funds where they revolve those dollars into their own communities. So they have small businesses coming to them from their own community, so they don't have to go through the hurdles of going through federal applications. They have very low interest and sometimes no interest loans that they're getting right there
That's
from their own provider.
Incredible. That's a really cool
it
program.
Is, like the success stories, I think it was Dakota Valley down in Edgley, I was hearing just massive circulation of those dollars within all of the communities in their service area. And it's really incredible what people can do when they're given the opportunity and when they're connected to the people in their own towns.
Yeah. Well, that's when we talk about property taxes and local decision making. There's something to be said there on that side. But if you could do it on this little revolving loan thing, it's incredible.
And that takes local leadership. That's, right. You know, those are elected boards who make those decisions to take on a little bit of risk to support their community. And we're so proud to be able to support that kind of community spirit, really, where they're doing everything they can to support their local businesses. But we have five area offices across the state, Tyler, Bismarck, Dickinson, Minot, Devil's Lake, and Valley City. And so we have a number of locations. We don't get a lot of drop-ins anymore these days, but we're always happy to take people who walk through the door, who send us an email, who give us a call. If you need to reach us, our office number is 701-530-2037. And oftentimes it starts with somebody just explaining what they want to do,
right,
and us being able to identify if we have a program that matches up with that need. And if not, we'll try to direct you somewhere where there is.
And the thing is, you're already paying for the taxes. They're your dollars. Why not try to get them back into your community? I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed of by trying to figure out a best way to help your own community. Even if it is federal dollars and people want to talk trash about it, you don't have to be just going with the crowd there.
734 projects we helped last year.
Wow.
I mean, it's incredible what we can do when people want to partner.
Yeah. Aaron, always good to catch up.
Nice.
Thanks
to
for
see
stopping
ya.
By. Yeah, see you as well. Aaron Olban, the director here at USDA Rural Development. We're going to come back. I'll get to all these messages about your bad experiences at a hotel and have a little bit of fun the final half hour here on KFGO. Tomorrow's gone.